I'll tell you right now, this is a little spooky message, a little cuckoo for Clark, all right? But the Lord laid down my heart, and that's what I'm going to do. And it's caused me to study. It's caused me to look into the Word. And I've done it. And I was a wreck all week. Wasn't I? And buddy, when I got the message, I was a happy man, Wanna Raj. I'm running around the office. Got the message. It's great to hear from the Lord when you read His Word and study His book. It's great to hear from Him. You ought to try it sometime. You just might like that. Amen? Today we're going to talk about dreams. Last week we laid the groundwork. Don't go out there and be looking for the unusual. The unusual. That's not God's plan. God's plan is the usual. God's plan is a daily walk with Him. God's plan is faith. It comes through the hearing of the Word of God and prayer and living for the Lord and reaching people. Well, that's boring. That ain't as fun as this other stuff. That's life. And that's how God works. Okay? You turn on television constantly on the Christian television networks around the country. Now, everything is off the wall. What happened to just normal, say? I'm talking about, this is how you, that's not where most people live out here in the spooky and the supernatural. Are you hearing me? Most of us live right here. We need to live right now today. I need help right now with the wife and with the young'uns and with my own heart that wanders from the Lord. And so, the usual. Don't be enamored and focused on the unusual, even though I'm doing a series about the unusual. But it's not something I focus on all the time, is it? Say, huh, not if you've been here. This is a first. But we're going for it. Here we go. Dreams. Let's go, Raj. Dreams are a succession of images appearing in our periodic state of unconscious rest. Big old fancy word. This means images and thoughts and things that happen when we're what? Sleeping. Okay, keep looking. It seems we have no problem saying that we experience the Lord's presence or spirit when we're awake. We say stuff like this all the time. I felt the Lord's leading. How many ever said that before? Sure you did. Come on, pop it up, Raj. The Lord impressed upon me. The Lord spoke to me through His Word. We say stuff all the time. I believe God showed me His what? Will on a certain matter. We talk like this all the time. The Lord gave me a message to preach. I felt Him on my heart. I had to preach it. We talk like that all the time. The Lord laid you on my what? Heart. You ever said that? Anybody say? Has the Lord ever laid anybody on your heart? Yes or no? All right. Well, let's keep moving. But what about the Lord's presence when we're asleep? Does He check out? Click. I'm done. See you in the morning, Fred. Does our spirit check out while we're sleeping? Don't you think it through? Keep looking. When we're in a state of unconscious rest, does the Holy Spirit of the living God speak or use a succession of images to send messages to us while we're sleeping? It's a good question. It's a crazy question. Can't believe I put it on the screen. Or is it always something we ate? Say it. Or a bad TV show we saw? Or is it just a mixed up replay of events that we've gone through in our life? Or could it be both? Could God be speaking in our spirit when we are sleeping? I told you there's two views anytime you talk about unusual faith occurrences. There seems to be two prevailing thoughts out there. No, it never happens. It never happens anymore. That ended with the Bible. And then there's this other camp that's so far over here. Happens every day. Happens every day. I'm living. I honestly believe it's about somewhere right here. Amen? I believe it's somewhere right here. And that's where we're coming at this message from today. Okay, let's keep looking. What about demonic spirit attacks while we're asleep? You think that happens? Since we're talking about unusual faith occurrences today, we're not going to touch that topic today, but we might in the future. Dreams. Let's keep moving, Raj. What does the Bible have to say about this subject? Let's look at it. And we got two things. Can you say first with me? First. One more time. first. And that's this. When we talk about this subject, the bottom line. The bottom line. Here's the bottom line right here. The Word of God. Okay? Remember that when you talk about dreams or unusual faith occurrences, remember what? First things first. And what's the bottom line? Say it with me. The Word of God. Focus on the usual, not the unusual. That should be your focus. Old timers used to say it's not what I don't know that troubles me, it's what I do know. That I can read with my own eyes that really causes me to worry. So that's the bottom line, the Word of God. Keep looking. We talked about this last week. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? Well, if I could just get struck by lightning or have a dream, how about read the Bible, Jack? How about listening to the preaching of the Word of God? That's where faith comes from. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. Keep looking. If what you experience contradicts the Word of God, then your confidence should be in God's Word and not your what? Well, I had this experience, but it don't line up with the Bible. Guess who's wrong? You are. Don't come up talking to me. If it contradicts the Word of God, you're just whistling Dixie and you're blowing smoke the wrong way, baby. You ought to think that way. We're fickle. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can what? Know it. We can't even know ourselves and what we're thinking half the time. We ain't even good when we awake, much less when we asleep, are we? Say, you know what I mean? Got to have an anchor. The Bible, the Word of God is our anchor. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to Him must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. God's not about you having an experience and believing in your experience. He's about you believing in Him and His Word. Okay? That's not to say experiences don't happen, but you got to find your place in your Christian life. If you don't, you'll just drift around. Be settled on the book. Amen? That's the bottom line. Everything must be sifted through God's Word. Here's a great verse. A couple of them. Romans 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? A great verse. Verse number 4. God forbid. Yea. Say it with me. Let God be true, but every man a liar. That's a great verse for you. That even means you. If you're thinking some thoughts that aren't biblical, let God be true, let yourself be a liar. That's called humility. Amen? Are y'all listening? Okay, keep looking. All right, so the first thing is the bottom line, the Word of God. Second, say this with me. Warning, come on. Warning, one more time. Warning, warning. Like a few weeks ago when the fire alarm went off. Warning, please exit the building. Hey, listen, this is it right here. Exit the building if this ever happens to you. Here's two great prophets. Look at it. Listen to what two great prophets had to say about pretending dreamers. Say pretending dreamers with me. Pretending dreamers. Here's what two prophets had to say about people that say they have dreams and they make those dreams the gospel. They make that like the Word of God. Here's what Jeremiah had to say. Verse 23, chapter 23. Look at these verses, powerful. Am I a God at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I should not see him? Says the Lord, do not I feel heaven and earth, says the Lord. I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Huge verses right here. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word. What? Faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Then a great verse. You ought to write it down, mark it down. You ought to remember it, never forget it. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces? Tell you what, if you ever have you a little spooky thing happen to you, you let the Word of God burn on it. Amen? Say. You let the Word of God hammer on it like a rock and see how that experience holds up. I'm not saying you don't have experiences. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying we are so casual. I was watching TV the other night. Guy's doing a television show. Three people. This guy runs a college course now on how to prophesy and to speak in other people's lives and say things to them about the future. And so they're doing a television show, and the guy right there doing the interview says, I want you to speak into that person's life on television. I want you to speak into that person's life. And he told this young girl, 18, I want you to tell me right now what God's saying through you to me. It don't work like that, friend. Are you hearing me say? Oh, that makes good TV, all right. You are not going to dictate to God, jump, baby, now. He ain't going to do that. Are you hearing me? God's going to say, you hit the ground. You fall down before me. You don't wind me up and me act according to the way you want me to act. Are y'all listening today? That does not mean the unusual does not happen. But there's only one thing that'll burn it and see if it's true. There's only one thing that'll beat it and see if it lasts, and that's the Bible. At least that's what this church stands for. If you don't stand for that, you need to get with the program. Amen? That's what the Bible teaches. I know not everybody listening to me here on radio or television, they're going to agree with me. But let me tell you something, friend. I'd bet the house, the farm, and everything I own on the Bible before I'd believe one thing you said and me bet on that. That's how I got saved, a preacher preaching the Word of the living God. That's how my mama got saved. That's a book that tells me about the blood of Jesus and there's a place called heaven. That book tells me how to love my wife. But I'm going to all of a sudden drop this and follow you? It ain't happening. Amen? I know that's ugly, but I think some of you need to hear that today. That doesn't mean the unusual doesn't happen. Listen to this other guy, and these aren't lightweights. This is Jeremiah and Ezekiel, baby. These are what we call the major prophets. Look at what Ezekiel said. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit, say it with me, and have seen what? Nothing. People that can't understand the Bible, they say, come on, this ain't that hard of English to get. They've seen vanity and lying divination. That's satanic. Saying the Lord says it. And the Lord hadn't sent them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have you not seen a vain vision, and have you not spoken a lying divination, whereof you say the Lord said it, albeit I ain't said it, God's saying. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am what? Against you, says the Lord. We need to be really, really, really careful when we just want to up all of a sudden and speak into somebody's life. God told me to say this. I'm not saying God doesn't do unusual things, but I tell you what, that is a tremendous warning, isn't it, Pastor? That's a tremendous warning. I better watch my mouth. And even experiences that I do have, I need to be very careful that I don't put myself up through my experiences. Many of those things that ever happen to us, I think they're intimate. They're between us and the Lord. Not for us to somehow, look at me. I was watching television the other night. I don't know why I do this. I'm probably going to jump off a bridge if I keep doing this. And this ain't the primetime ABC. This is Christian television. And anyway, a guy the other night, he gets on there and talks about how he went to heaven. No, he didn't die. He just saw it. I went to heaven. And he isn't just telling how he saw heaven. He's saying, Chad, don't worry. No. It's like this. This is the way it is. It's just like this right here. This is just how it is. It's just like this. Right? And he told about this, he told about that, and he told about this, he told about that. And you know what? As he's talking, I'm feeling smaller and smaller, and he's getting bigger and bigger. I don't think that's how it works down here on this planet. I think your position, my position, whether you're a pastor or whether you just serve in any capacity whatsoever, I think our position is low, my friend, not to puff us up or make us seem like we got some direct line to God. Are you hearing me today? Crazy sermon. I knew it was going to be. Let's keep moving. Dreams. Can you say that with me? Are dreams done? One more time. Are dreams done? Does God still speak through dreams? Well, let's see some scripture. Listen to what the prophet Joel said about the last days during the tribulation period. That's the day of the Lord and the restoration time of the nation of Israel. Joel, listen, chapter 2, verse 27. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see vision. And upon also the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. So Joel was specifically saying this about the day of the Lord of the last days. A few months ago, we did a series on the last days. Y'all remember? The last days according to Jesus. According to what Jesus had to say, we can certainly, from what he had to say, draw the conclusion, certainly, that we can believe that we're living in the last days. There's no way that you can read what Jesus said and not at least say, this very well could be the last days. Joel said this would happen in the last days, specifically during the tribulation period. But we're not done. Listen to the Apostle Peter. So now we go from Old Testament into the New Testament. Acts 2:15. Here's what happened. Pentecost happened. There were people from all kinds of nationalities that were there. The disciples were given an utterance in other tongues. And it freaked everybody out. Matter of fact, these people that spoke other languages, they could hear the gospel in their own language. And some who were the religious leaders said, these are dumb Galileans. These boys are up from Galilee that are doing this. I know they don't know no foreign language. And they said, others mocked them. Others said they're what? Drunk! And here's what Peter said. He said, boys, let me talk to you. He said, we ain't drunk. It ain't but 9 in the morning. Third hour of the day. Jewish clock starts at 6 a.m. We ain't sauce, dudes. This is of the Lord. And then he says this, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So here's the deal. Say that with me. No, dreams ain't done. Dreams ain't done. Dreams still happen. I believe God still speaks when we are at an unconscious state of rest while we're sleeping. I still believe God, the Holy Spirit, has the capability of speaking into our spirit and our spirit receiving that. So let's pop up a couple of more points. Number one, Joel said that dreams would happen in the last days. Keep looking. Peter believed they were happening in what? His day, and this is what the preacher believes. I believe they still happen today. I believe they still happen today. Do I think a dream is going to trump the Word of God? Yes or no? No. But I believe things like this still happen. Okay? We're going to look at some dreams in the Bible. Pop it up. Some dreams in the Bible. A lot of scripture here. First of all, Jacob. Was Jacob a really great guy or did he have some problems? Somebody tell me. He had some problems. So I guess God lets people with problems dream too, and he talks to their spirit, doesn't he? Come on. Genesis 28:10-14. And Jacob went out from Beersheba, and he went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place. He tarried there all night because the sun was set. He took of some stones at that place. He put them there for his pillows. And he laid in that place to go to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up upon the earth, and the top of it reached to the heaven in his dream. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on that ladder. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it to you and to your seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Is this a dream that Jacob had? Help me here. A lot of times we read the Bible and we just think God just showed up. This happened where? In a dream. Keep looking. And here's just something I saw and that I'm just sharing with you today. Other pastors could read this passage. You could read this passage. You might see from a different angle. That's the beauty of the Word of God. But here's what I saw. The bottom line with what this dream told Jacob, it might get boring here, but if you'll hang on, you might get something. Here we go. The bottom line with what God was telling Jacob in that dream, he was confirming the Abrahamic covenant. God blessed Abraham and Isaac and you, Jacob, you are blessed. And my nation is going to grow out of this. And this land that you're on right now is going to be your land, y'all's land. Are you hearing me? And so this was a confirmation. Say that with me. Confirmation. Let's look at the scriptures. What happened? And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, your name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob. Say it with me. But Israel shall be your name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee. And the king shall come out of your loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee will I give it. To your seed after thee will I give the land. One thing I think that happens when God speaks into our dreams is I believe confirmation takes place. It can take place. I'm not saying everybody dreams. When you read the Bible, everybody in the Bible didn't have a dream. Did they? Not that we're seeing anyway. But some do. Your pastor's one of them. Uh-oh! The pastor dreams. My wife doesn't dream a whole lot. Occasionally she will. I drive you crazy, don't I, baby? Go ahead. How many times have I woke you up out of a sound sleep with a dream and it just really got on your nerves? More than once? And I'll tell you something. Some of my dreams are because of what I ate the night before. Some of my dreams are because of what I saw on television. Some of my dreams are a mixed up replay of things in my life. And some of my dreams, I believe, is God confirming something in my spirit. And I don't have a lot of time, but I'm just going to tell you one. Okay? Not for me to look bigger than you. Just to tell you something. I don't want to get into a lot of detail because it gets me depressed. But at my former church, I was there 17 years and I served with Joy's daddy. I loved him probably more than life itself. Loved serving God there. Towards the end, through the direction of a couple of godly men in my life who were pastors, and because of my own heart, losing the joy of the Lord and not wanting just to play church's politics, I resigned. 2 weeks later, my father-in-law died of a massive heart attack. Nearly killed my wife, nearly killed me. My two friends that told me I should resign, two good pastors, here they are, they said, you need to offer to go back. Offer to go back. People that I'd loved, at least a half a dozen, hurt me. Turned on me like white on rice. Are you hearing me say? Inside of me, I know there's a meanness in me. And thank God for the Holy Spirit that helps me not kill people. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got one happy guy. Amen. I know this is ugly, but I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to be real and honest and just tell you something this morning. Okay? And here's the deal. So I was hurt, angry, rejected. And the Lord was speaking into my heart, I believe, as I was taking walks. And that's how this ministry, Fellowship Church, was born out of the pain in my heart, my wife's heart. And that's usually the way God does things, not so much these mountaintop things. He works good down here in the dirt. Amen? Things grow out of dirt. Long story short, fellowship started. Things are going good. 6, 8 months, 9 months, 10 months are going along, and it's rolling along. I'm bitter. I'm angry. I didn't move away. I stayed in the same town. I have to see the same faces. Some I want to punch right in the mouth. Okay? That's the truth. Well, don't clap. I do have some people really love me here. I know that for sure. Amen. They'd charge hell with a water pistol. But anyway, listen to me. But I'm struggling. And I had a dream. And in this dream, in a roundabout way, without getting spooky on you, one of these people that really hurt me in my dream apologized to me. I didn't share that with my wife. But it was weird. It brought some kind of peace in me. And then a few weeks passed, and another one. I had another dream. But not the same person, a different one. I did tell her about this one. Then I'd have another dream a few weeks later, and another one. And Joy, I wake up in the morning, I said, "Honey, you won't believe it." She said, "Who was it this time?" Now all of a sudden, she's wanting to hear my dreams. That happened about 6 times. You know what Gary Clark got out of that? Here's what I got out of it. Did I hear an audible voice from God? I didn't hear an audible voice from God. Here's what I got out of it. I'm just talking to you country talk. This is the way I can best I can explain it. Here's what I got out of it. God saying this to me. Gary Clark, get on with your life. Move on. I heard it loud and clear. And then I heard this. Not really audibly. But in retrospect, if you expect an apology out of those people, it's in your dreams. Come on. That's ugly. That's ugly. That's bad. Hey, confirmation. Peace. Pop the word up. Peace. I thank God, instead of going out here and telling everything and blabbing everything and getting you a TV show, and I did that dream. I think it's probably a lot more intimate than that. And simple. And simple. Peace. Joseph, he dreamed a dream. He told it to his brethren. They hated him yet the more. He said unto them, "Here I pray you this dream I've dreamed." Y'all know this story, many of you. "Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. My sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance and honored me. His brethren said to him, 'Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us, you little runt?' And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and he told it his brethren and said, 'Behold, I've dreamed another dream. The sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me.'" So not only the 11 now, sun and the moon. Look at that. "He told this to his father, to his brethren. His father rebuked him and said, 'What is this dream you have in, boy? Shall I and your mother and your brethren indeed come to bow ourselves to thee on the earth?' And his brethren envied him. His father, though, did what?" Say it with me. Observe the saying. Hang in here with me. I wrote the word down, destination. First thing, confirmation. Destination of a predetermined course or event. What happened in Joseph's life? Did Joseph's family eventually do what he dreamed? Yes or no? And Joseph, after they sold him into slavery, etc., his whole life a wreck, he finally gets into a place at the end of his, down in his life, a place of leadership in Egypt. And Joseph said unto his brethren, when they finally came for food and they were starving to death and he'd been messing with them a little bit, he says, "Come near to me, I pray." And they came near and said, "I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." Everybody's starving to death in that whole part of the world. But his family's going to be spared because God has a bigger picture. "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve" what? Life. Then a great verse, 50:20, you ought to remember this. "But as for you, you thought it evil against me," say it with me, "but God meant it unto good." Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to me. I believe, and this is your preacher talking, I believe that when Joseph was in that pit, I believe when Joseph was sold into slavery, I believe when he had worked his way up into the ranks of being, you know, head of Potiphar's house, and then his wife accuses Joseph of rape, and he's thrown into the slammer. And then he interprets a couple of dreams for a butler and a baker. "Remember me when you get out," he said. They didn't. Certainly the butler didn't, the baker couldn't. I believe those dreams Joseph had gave him this word, pop it up, hope. As each time he saw himself get rescued out of those jams, I can't help but him think, something might be up here, amen? And I believe it gave him hope. I think God speaks into our spirit. I'm not saying this happens to everybody, don't get me wrong, but I know he's done it to the preacher up here. I've had a dream, and it gave me hope. Just help me. Anybody, I ain't going to raise no hands. I don't want to do that. Gave me hope. Two other quick dreams. Solomon had a dream. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God asked him, "Ask what I shall give you." This happened in a dream. Solomon said, "You showed unto your servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and righteousness, in uprightness of heart with thee, and you've kept for him great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day." This is in a dream. "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in." This is happening in a dream. "Thy servant's in the midst of a people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for the multitude. Give therefore your servant understanding heart to judge the people, that I might discern between good and bad, for who's able to judge this so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because you asked this thing and not asked for yourself long life, neither have you asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but you've asked for yourself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like you." I put this word, say it with me, supplication. Now, this is a weird word. I just wrote it down because this is sort of what I saw in the passage as I'm reading it. Confirmation, destination or hope, and then supplication. This happened in Solomon's life. I know it did. He's laid down to sleep. He has a dream. And somehow in his dream, he is making some kind of prayer request to God. You seeing that? I think somehow, some way, matter of fact, the Bible says we can't even pray. It's the Spirit that makes these intercessions and groanings with our spirit and helps us to pray. Is that correct? It was the Apostle Paul that said, pray without ceasing. We're to always be in a spirit of prayer. What about when we go to sleep? Is it possible in our sleep that we are possibly at times in a spirit of prayer? I tell you what, I think it is possible. I think that there is something that can happen when you are sleeping. But let me tell you something. If you don't pray when you awake, certainly don't expect to do it when you're sleeping. Meditate on the Word of God. Be close with Him. Pray. And it does not surprise me at all that then when you're sleeping, those thoughts are on your mind. Does that make any sense? Say. I'm not trying to be so fantastic here as to try to make sense of something. I don't think it cuts it just to say, no, these things don't happen anymore. And I don't think it cuts it to say, what is happening? I think we can be sensible. And this happened to Solomon. The word is this, prayer, prayer. So peace, hope, prayer. Last one, because we got to give it to you. I know I'm late today. Some dreams in the Bible. Here's the last one. Look at this guy, Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 4, 4 and 5. I, Nebuchadnezzar, this is the guy who invaded Jerusalem and took him captive to Babylon. Amen? Nebuchadnezzar was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me, this king is saying. And here was the dream. Thus were the visions of my head and my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the ends of the earth. That's a big tree. The leaves thereof were fair, the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all. The beast of the field had shadow under it, the fowls of the heaven dwelt in its bowels thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the vision of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree, cut it down. Cut off his branches, shake off the leaves, scatter his fruit, let the beast get away from under the tree and the fowls from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let 7 times or years pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know, say it with me, that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives to whomsoever he will, and he sets up over it the basest of men. What's the deal with this dream? Say that word with me. Magnification. Magnification of God's greatness and our puniness. Let's see how this dream panned out. And I'll say just a word and we're done. While the word was in the king's mouth, here's what happened. When Daniel gave him the interpretation of his dream, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it's spoken. The kingdom is departed from you. They shall drive you out from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass like an ox. This guy was absolutely going to lose his mind, become insane, and 7 years shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whosoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from the men, and he did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till the hairs were grown like eagle's feathers. His nails became as birds' claws. In this dream, who was in charge in this dream? Somebody tell me. Say it with me louder. Who was puny in this dream? Nebuchadnezzar was puny in this dream. I think what I see here anyway is I think that's a real value, I think, that God can speak into our spirit when we're dreaming. And that is this. I'm God and you ain't. I'm God. I'm great, you're pitiful, you're puny. I think somehow, some way, there is the opportunity for our spirit, even when we are sleeping, to magnify the Lord. It does not, don't expect to do that. And I'm not asking you to run out here, I'm going to go to sleep, now I'm going to magnify Jesus. Please don't do that. Remember usual, amen? But if you're in the Word and you want to be in that Word and you worship Him while you're awake and you pray to Him while you're awake and you praise Him while you're awake and it comes out of a pure heart and a sincere heart, wouldn't surprise me a bit that you sleep sweet and that somehow you even magnify Him in your sleep. Are you hearing me today? One of the weirdest messages we've heard lately from Fellowship Church. Amen? On dreams. They're all in the Bible. Here's what the end of the deal is with Neb. Here's what old Neb said. At the end of the days, after the 7 years passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I what? Blessed the Most High. He came down off his high horse, didn't he? Say. Thought the world revolved around him. No, it didn't. And I praised and I honored him that lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as what? See, sometimes I don't think a lot of you like me saying we're puny. We're nothing. God's big on God. And he ain't big on you. Well, let me tell you something, friend. I got it right from the book. I got it right from a king who is bigger and greater than you and I'll probably ever be. If that big old boy can say we're reputed as nothing, I think that's what we ought to say. Let's say that. We're reputed as... See, unless you get to the place in your life and come off your high horse and come down to where you know you're a sinner and you're on your way to hell, you're never going to want to turn from your sin and trust the Savior and be saved because you think you don't need it. But if you realize you're nothing, if you see your own sin, see His holiness, all of a sudden you start wanting to run to the cross. You hearing us? And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? I guess that's how I end today. What doest thou? Do I understand dreams? No. I really don't. I do have to say this to the Lord sometimes when I wake up in the morning. What doest thou? What are you doing? What are you doing? I don't think you want to live your life and plan your life by a dream. You put that life, you base that life on the book, the Word of God. Amen? Are you hearing me again? Be careful, very careful, warning, to just walk up to people, talk to people. This is what I dreamed. This is what God told me to speak into your life. Be very careful about doing that. Why? Because of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Amen? Are y'all listening?